Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving into declarative UI design, more specifically with Jetpack Compose.
Okay.
You're here, listener, because you want to know how the interfaces you use every day actually get built and why everyone's making such a fuss over this this whole declarative thing.
Yeah. There's a real shift happening, I think, in how we think about user interfaces these days. You know, it's less about telling the computer exactly what to do, like step by step.
Right.
And it's becoming more about just describing like the end result, like what you want.
Yeah.
Kind of like the difference between like writing out a whole recipe, like step by step, versus just showing a picture of the finished dish.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a pretty tasty analogy.
Yeah.
So we've got all these articles talking about imperative versus declarative UI design.
Right.
And one expert even compared it to building a house.
Okay.
Like imperative is handing the construction crew like a step-by-step instruction manual for like laying each brick, you know. But declarative is more like just giving them the blueprint.
Yeah, that's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
I mean, imperative UI design can get so complex as your app grows, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're micromanaging every little detail.
Right.
And it becomes a real headache to maintain.
Uh-huh.
But declarative UI lets you take a step back, you know, focus on the bigger picture.
So less about the how and more about the what.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's where Jetpack Compose, like, steps onto the stage, right?
Exactly. Jetpack Compose is Android's toolkit for building these native UIs in this declarative way. And all of our sources like rave about how it just simplifies and speeds up UI development, which makes it a favorite among Android developers.
Before we get too deep into Compose, though, we keep hearing about these other declarative UI frameworks, right? Like Flutter, React Native, and Swift UI. Are they all doing the same thing?
Well, the fascinating thing is that they all share that core principle of describing what the UI state should be.
Okay.
You know, you're not saying how to get there. You're just saying what you want it to look like.
Hmm.
It's a very fundamental shift in thinking.
So Jetpack Compose is kind of Android's way of jumping on this bandwagon, right?
Yeah.
And it does this with composables.
Yes.
Like these Kotlin functions that everybody seems to be talking about.
Precisely, yeah. Composables are the building blocks of your UI in Jetpack Compose.
Okay.
They're these special functions marked with that at composable annotation.
Mm.
And they work in a unique way. You see, they don't return values like your typical functions.
Oh, okay.
They directly describe what should be drawn on the screen.
Wait, so they don't have like return values?
It's a little different.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite intuitive once you get used to it.
Okay.
Basically, you create a composable function for each piece of UI you want.
Right.
So text, buttons, images, you name it.
Yeah.
And then you combine these composables to build your entire interface.
Oh, okay. Start to get the picture now.
Yeah.
When I start a new Compose project.
Yeah.
What are like the basic ingredients? What are like the fundamental composables?
You'll find some really familiar building blocks when you first get started.
Okay.
You know, there are composables for things like color, shape, theme, and type. You know, these are the foundational pieces that you'll use to style and structure your whole UI.
Got it. Now, if I'm coming from like the old world, you know, like traditional Android development with XML layouts, am I going to feel totally lost in Compose?
Not at all, actually. Jetpack Compose offers a pretty smooth transition.
Okay.
You know, our sources highlight how many traditional Android views actually have like direct counterparts in Compose.
Right.
So, you know, text view becomes text, image view becomes image, edit text becomes text field. It's like a familiar world, but reimagined with this new declarative twist.
So I'm not starting from scratch. It's more like learning a new language for the same ideas.
Exactly.
Speaking of new languages, though,
One
thing that caught my eye in the sources is this modifier object.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, the modifier object, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
It's a powerful tool in Jetpack Compose for customizing the look and feel of your UI elements.
All right. Unpack that for me. I'm all ears.
So modifiers basically let you define all sorts of properties for your composables.
Okay.
Things like size, padding, colors. You can even set click actions using modifiers. The interesting part is they use this builder pattern.
Okay.
And the order that you set these properties in, it actually matters.
Wait, the order matters. So it's not like just like throwing a bunch of attributes into a tag.
Yeah, it's more like building a sentence, you know, where the word order actually changes the meaning.
Right.
For example, if you apply padding before you set the size of a composable,
Okay.
that padding is going to be included in that final size calculation.
Okay.
But if you reverse the order, you get a totally different result.
So it's about understanding how these modifiers like interact with each other,
Yeah.
like a little language of its own.
Exactly, yeah. Mastering the modifier object is key for, you know, really controlling how your UI elements look and how they behave.
Okay.
And the beauty of it is it's all done in this really concise and readable way, thanks to Kotlin.
All right, enough theory. Show me the code.
Okay.
I got some snippets in our sources here. Let's see this magic in action.
All right. Let's start with, like, the text composable, right?
Correct.
Let's say you want to display a greeting for you, the listener.
Okay.
In Jetpack Compose, it's as simple as this.
Okay.
Kotlin. Text. Hello, listener.
Oh, wow. That's straightforward.
Yeah.
No need to create a text view object, set its properties, attach it to a layout or anything.
Nope.
It's just there.
You're literally just describing what you want.
Yeah.
A piece of text that says, hello, listener.
Right.
And Compose takes care of the rest.
What about arranging multiple elements on the screen, though?
Okay.
Let's say I want to have some text, an image, and a button, like, you know, nicely laid out.
Right. Well, that's where layout composables come in.
Okay.
Things like column, row, and box.
Right.
These composables act like containers, you know? Mm-hmm. They let you arrange your UI elements vertically, horizontally. Yeah. You can even have them overlap.
So if I wanted a vertical layout, like with a profile picture at the top,
right,
then the person's name and maybe some stats underneath it,
okay,
I would use a column.
Precisely.
Okay.
You'd put an image composable for that profile picture,
right,
then a text composable for the name,
uh-huh,
and then maybe another composable for those stats.
Okay.
And all of that would be within a column.
Got it.
And you can control, like, the spacing and the alignment of these elements within that column using, you guessed it, modifiers.
Ah, yeah, it all comes together.
Yeah.
Now, our sources, they have these more complex examples using the image composable.
Right.
They talk about things like padding, size.
Yeah.
And even, like, clipping an image into a circle.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Which sounds really cool.
It is, and the code for that is actually surprisingly concise.
Okay.
You just add padding around an image, set its size,
mm-hmm,
and even apply that circular clipping all within the modifier object.
Okay.
You're just basically expressing those modifications in code.
All right. I'm sold on the whole concise thing. Let's talk about interactive elements now. What about buttons?
Okay, sure.
How do those work in Compose?
Well, buttons are a breeze in Compose.
Okay.
Let's say you want a button that just says, click me, right?
Yeah.
You would use the button composable, add some text to it.
Okay.
And then give it an action that should happen when that button's clicked.
So instead of setting an onClick listener like in traditional Android,
right,
you're just defining what should happen right there in the composable.
Once, exactly. It keeps all the logic for that button nice and tidy right there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, you can handle things like showing a message, navigating to a different screen, or even updating some data in your app, all within that on-click action.
Nice. Now, what about user input? Our sources mention a text field composable. Is that Compose's version of EditText?
Yes. Text field is how you handle all your text input in Compose.
Okay.
You know, you can set a label for it, provide hints to the user,
yeah,
and even react to changes in the text as they're typing.
Oh, so I could have a text field for a username.
Right.
And as they're typing, I could validate their input in real time.
Exactly.
Like checking if that username's already taken or something.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of dynamic behavior you can achieve with Compose.
Right.
You're reacting to state changes within the composable itself.
Right.
Which leads to a super responsive and interactive user experience.
I'm really starting to see why developers are so gung-ho about Compose.
Mm.
This does feel a lot more intuitive.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing. Our sources, they mention these things called lazy column and lazy row. What are those?
Yeah.
And how are they different from the good old recycler views we're used to?
Okay, so lazy column and lazy row are basically Compose's answer to recycler view.
Okay.
They're both used for displaying lists of items.
Right.
But lazy column and lazy row are specifically made for Jetpack Compose.
Right.
And they actually offer some performance advantages.
Performance advantages, you say? Tell me more.
Okay, so think about a list that has hundreds or even thousands of items in it.
Oh, yeah.
Traditional recycler views, they can really struggle to display these huge lists efficiently.
Right.
Because they try to load all the items into memory at the same time.
Yeah. Trying to render thousands of items all at once would definitely bog things down.
Exactly. So lazy column and lazy row, they take a much smarter, approach.
Okay.
They only compose and lay out the items that are actually visible on the screen at that moment. So as the user scrolls, items that go off screen are disposed of,
Right.
and the new items that come into view are composed right then.
So it's like a just-in-time rendering system for lists.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
It is, and it makes for a much smoother and more responsive scrolling experience,
right.
especially when you're dealing with those super long lists.
You know, this is all making me think about that design challenge our sources mentioned.
Okay.
Where they ask developers to implement a specific UI using Compose.
Right.
I'm starting to see how I might approach that now.
Yeah.
It's less about, like, fiddling with individual views
yes.
and more about thinking in terms of these composable functions
yeah.
and how they all fit together.
That's a great observation. It really highlights what Jetpack Compose is all about.
Yeah.
You see, it's not just a new set of tools. It's a new way of thinking about UI design.
Okay.
It encourages you to approach problems from this declarative perspective,
right.
you know, focusing on what you want to achieve
yeah.
rather than getting lost in all the tiny little implementation details.
So it's like shifting from being a micromanager to being like an architect. You just lay out the blueprint, define the relationships between the elements,
yeah.
and then let Compose handle the construction.
Yeah. Perfect analogy. And this shift in mindset can be incredibly liberating for developers.
Oh,
it frees you up to think more creatively about your UIs
yeah,
and
yeah.
to focus on building those really beautiful and intuitive experiences that your users will love.
This has been a really incredible journey so far. We've explored all these core concepts of declarative UI,
mm-hmm.
dug into the specifics of Jetpack Compose,
all right.
and even got a glimpse of how this declarative thinking can apply beyond software development.
Yeah.
We've gone from like basic concepts all the way to real-world code examples.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have a much clearer understanding now of how this revolutionary approach to UI is shaping the whole digital world.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
But before we get too philosophical here,
yeah.
I want to bring us back down to like some practical examples.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Our sources, they have these little code snippets showing how to use specific composables, mm-hmm. like image, button, text field, and even lazy column.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at those and see how these building blocks actually come together
yeah.
to create a real user interface.
Okay. Let's start with the image composable.
Okay.
Imagine you want to display a profile picture.
Okay.
And you want to add some padding around it.
Yeah.
And then clip it into a circle.
Okay, cool.
The code for that would look a little something like this.
All right.
Kotlin, image, painter resource, content description, profile picture, modifier, modifier.size, padding, 8.ep, clip circle shape.
Okay, let's break that down.
Okay.
So we're using painter resource to load the image.
Right.
We add a content description, you know, for accessibility.
Right.
And then things get interesting with the modifier, right?
Wow.
We're setting the size, adding that pad, and then using well, clip circle shape
yeah.
to make it round.
Yeah.
It's like we're styling this image with code.
You got it.
Hmm.
And notice, like, the order matters here.
Right.
We're applying that padding after setting the size.
Okay.
So that the padding is added outside of that 100 dp circle.
Got it. So it's like layering those modifications.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what about buttons? I'm curious how we handle clicks in this declarative world.
All right, here's a simple example of a button composable.
Okay.
That just displays click me.
Okay.
And then prints a message to the console when you click it.
Gotcha.
Kotlin, button click. Modifier, dot padding. 8 texor, text, click me.
Okay, so I see we're providing that click action right there in the on click parameter.
Yeah.
That's pretty different from setting up listeners.
It is. It makes things a lot more concise, you know?
Right, right.
Everything related to the button's behavior is right there in that composable function.
Okay. Let's move on to text field.
Sure.
We have an example in our sources of just a simple input field for a username, totlin.var. Username, text field, username, if I remember, mutable state of value. And of it, label masher, username value, modifier, max bound.
Okay. This one looks a bit more involved. What's
yeah.
going on with that remember and mutable state of stuff?
Well, that's how we handle state in Jetpack Compose.
Oh, okay.
So the remember function makes sure that the username variable, you know, it keeps its value.
Okay.
Even if the composable function is like recomposed.
Right.
And mutable state of. Well, that creates a special observable object.
Okay.
That will trigger UI updates whenever its value changes.
Ah, so whenever the user types something into that text field,
right,
the username state changes.
Right.
And that tells Compose to, like, update the UI and show that new text in the field.
Yeah, and that's really powerful.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that's a core concept of declarative UI.
Right.
The UI is like a mirror, you know? Mm-hmm. It reflects the current state.
Yeah.
And anytime the state changes, the UI updates automatically. Oh, that's cool. Okay. I think I'm getting this state management thing now.
Okay, great.
Now, before we wrap up here, let's take a quick look at lazy column.
Sure.
That's the one that handles these long lists efficiently,
oh,
right?
Oh, right.
Here's an example we have from our sources. It's a lazy column displaying a list of names.
Okay, back.
Kotlin, fell names, list of sun, Alice, Bob, Charlie, David, text, textian, modifier.padding, 8.dp.
All right.
So we have our list of names.
Right.
And we're using the items function to go through that list.
Right.
And display each name using a text composable.
Right. But how is this different from a recycler view?
Well, the main difference is that lazy column, you see, it only composes the items that are currently visible on screen.
Mm-hmm.
As the user scrolls, items that go off screen are disposed of.
Right.
And then the new items that come into view are composed on the fly.
So it's all about optimization.
Yeah.
Minimizing the number of composables that are, you know, active at any given time.
Yeah. I see how that would be better for performance.
Yeah.
Especially with huge lists.
Exactly. And it makes the scrolling much smoother, you know?
Right.
Lazy column takes care of all the hard work.
Yeah.
So you can focus on what you want to show in each item in the list.
Well, this has been an amazing deep dive.
Yeah, it has.
You know, we explored the fundamentals of declarative UI design.
Mm-hmm.
We really got into the nuts and bolts of Jetpack Compose.
Right.
And we even got a glimpse of how this declarative thinking can apply outside of software.
Yeah. It's a powerful concept.
We went from, like, the basics all the way to real-world code examples.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have a much better understanding now of how this revolutionary approach to building UIs is changing the whole digital world.
It's exciting to see how much it's caught on. You know, developers across all sorts of platforms are embracing these principles.
Yeah.
Declarative UI design, you know, it's not just about writing code. It's about changing how we think about building interfaces.
Mm.
And maybe even how we solve problems in general.
So next time you're using a well-designed app, remember that there's a good chance it was built using these very ideas.
That's right.
And who knows? Maybe you'll even find yourself applying a bit of this declarative thinking to your own challenges.
You never know.
Whether they're in the digital world or beyond.
It's a great way to approach things.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.